And welcome to Radio Times. I'm Tracy Matisak, filling in for Marty Moscowain. Well, as Joanne just pointed out, the ruling is in on Pennsylvania's controversial voter ID law, and that law came before a Commonwealth judge for a second time after challenges to the original version sent it to the state Supreme Court. Well, the state Supreme Court kicked it back to Commonwealth Court to Judge Robert Simpson. The ruling just came in, and it does involve at least a partial injunction. This hour, we're going to look at what this new ruling means, what's likely to happen from here, what does all of this mean for voters. We'll begin with the person who is responsible for carrying out the law, and that's Carol Achill, who was appointed by Governor Tom Corbett as Secretary of the Commonwealth. In that role, she leads the Department of State, which, among other things, oversees Pennsylvania's election. Secretary Achill, welcome to Radio Times.
I'm delighted to be here.
Well, we're working on the fly here, but tell us, in essence, what the judge's ruling is.
In essence, the law will provide for another soft rollout for the November election, exactly the same as what we had in the spring. So voters will be asked to show an ID, but not required.
Okay, so if they don't have photo ID, they can still vote?
Yes.
Okay. Now, thinking ahead, is this something that the people in your office will be thinking about, how to implement this possibly for future elections, since there has been so much talk about this and so much controversy? What do you anticipate going forward?
Well, the judge characterized this as an extension of the soft rollout we had in the primary. So it is our thinking at this point that we will continue to educate voters with respect to photo ID and await further direction from the courts sometime in the future.
Hmm. What exactly was the judge being asked to decide here?
You're asking a non-lawyer a legal question, but the judge was asked to investigate whether there was liberal access for all eligible voters to participate in the November 6th election. And it has always been the position of the Department of State that we wanted all eligible voters to be able to vote in November, and clearly the judge's ruling provides for that.
Of course, Secretary, the concern was that there would be voter fraud, voter impersonation, and that was the impetus behind the creation of this law to begin with. Do those concerns remain?
Always there is a concern about voter fraud or election fraud. And if you look at 250 years of American history, there have been some very dramatic examples of that in our history. So we're always looking to make sure that it goes back to the basic premise, one person, one vote, one time. And the exercise here is to address what I think is a relatively new problem, and that's identity theft. And this is one method of trying to address it, and we're addressing it in other aspects of our life because clearly we use photo IDs much more in 2012 than we did 20 years ago. So it's the times we live in.
Have you seen examples of identity theft as it relates to voting? I guess that would fall under voter impersonation. Have you seen examples of that in Pennsylvania?
The lawyers stipulated that we were not going to present evidence of specific voter fraud. But the essence of fraud, the word fraud, means it's meant to deceive. So it's very hard to identify fraud, and well-done fraud is something that's even more difficult to be able to identify and move forward. If you look at all kinds of examples of identity theft, they're very cleverly done and hard to detect.
So I'm just thinking, can you give us a sense or maybe a scope of what you've seen, and maybe not specific examples, but basically, has voter fraud been a big concern in Pennsylvania? Is that something that has presented itself as a problem in the past that, you know, led to the creation of this law? I mean, how big of an issue was it?
You know, Tracy, I think it goes back to the issues brought forward in the 2000 election in Florida. I don't know now what happened in Florida, and I don't think I ever will. But in my mind, it undermined the confidence people have in elections. And one of the things we have to be very sure of when we participate in the election process is that the person who has the most votes won the race. And what happened in Florida really kind of astounded me. I heard stories, and you know, there's stories that are reported through the press and through the internet of boxes of ballots being found in Dade County and a deliberate attempt through the design of the ballot process, the butterfly ballot, as they say, that and then ballots that were, you know, the dimpled Chad.
Right, those infamous hanging Chads,
the infamous hanging Chads. But it, in that case, the outcome of a presidential election was based on the kind of integrity they had in the Florida election. And people were uncomfortable with that. And I think I'm proud of Americans for being uncomfortable with that. And moving forward with the Help America Vote Act, getting machines that are reliable, and giving our citizens the confidence that this election process that's so important to all of us is conducted fairly and openly, and the person who wins the race is in fact the one who takes office.
How many people do you anticipate that this will affect in terms of people who will now be able to vote? What do you think the impact on turnout is going to be?
I think the numbers, we've been monitoring numbers since the spring, and we really think that most Pennsylvanians already have acceptable photo ID, as many as 99%. So most people have IDs, and they use IDs in their everyday life. The number that we were looking at, people who possibly would be eligible voters, would want to participate in the election, and might not have IDs, was really around 100,000, which is not a trivial number. It's an important number. So we were focusing our energy on making sure that those people had photo ID. And we were up to about, I think the last numbers I looked at were about 12,000 ID cards were issued free of charge through PennDOT, but only about 2,000 of those were actually people who didn't have birth certificates and the kind of documentation you need to get a PennDOT ID. So we were looking at a relatively small number. I think what has not been discussed widely is the choice by Pennsylvanians not to participate in the election process. You know, a tremendous turnout for a Pennsylvania election would be 60%. So there are people who year after year choose not to vote, and to have them in the numbers of, you know, eligible voters versus those who choose to vote is kind of disingenuous.
One of the questions that the judge was being asked to decide was essentially how good a job is Pennsylvania doing in making sure that people who need voter IDs are getting them. It would seem like the ruling that came down this morning is saying, well, perhaps Pennsylvania could have done a better job, or there are some flaws in the implementation. And you mentioned that there were relatively few people who actually received the IDs as opposed to the number of people who probably needed them. Can you talk about that and your thoughts about that? Could Pennsylvania have done a better job in terms of making sure that people who have the IDs need the IDs would have them?
I think Pennsylvania did a really credible job helping people get photo IDs. This law was passed on March 13th, and you know, people kind of waited, and they heard about the lawsuit, and they weren't really sure whether the law would be upheld. So maybe they delayed getting their photo IDs. Sometimes that's just that's human nature. But we have put on what I believe is a first-rate education campaign. We are on television, radio. We've done the community outreach, robocalls, mailings. I think we would be hard-pressed to find someone in Pennsylvania who doesn't know as of October 2nd that there's a photo ID law in Pennsylvania. We got that message out. Then the issue of actually getting people to driver's licensing centers and having those licensing centers issue the ID cards is an ongoing process. And I think even helping people to understand that they probably already have photo ID. Tracy, I'll tell you a little story. One of our senior citizens read the news in, I'd say, June, and was concerned that she would not be able to vote, and she actually packaged up her passport, her driver's license, and her old voter ID card and sent it to us because she was so concerned. And she could have used her passport anyhow. She really didn't need a driver's license or the voter ID card, but she didn't know that. So we called her, and she appreciated the call, and we packaged up her identification material, put it in a FedEx box, insured it, and sent it back to her.
Wow. Secretary, is there any chance that the Commonwealth might appeal this decision, given the concern about voter fraud, given the concern about identity theft? Is there a chance that it could be appealed?
I suppose there's always a chance. I have not had any meetings with the lawyers. We just got the decision, so I have not discussed this with them, and we don't have I don't have a report to give you, so I don't know.
Yeah, and with all the effort to educate voters, you talked about the robocalls and all the efforts that have been made to make sure that people are up to speed. Given this ruling, do you plan to still encourage voters to get their photo IDs before this election in November?
I think, yes, I would encourage people to have photo IDs. In the 21st century, if you don't have a photo ID, it's a handy thing to have, and the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania will provide it to you at no charge. So certainly, if you don't have one, this would be a great opportunity to get one.
And finally, Secretary, how would you respond to those who have expressed concerns, those who challenged this law originally and said, you know, gee, this is really about disenfranchising people more than it is about preventing voter fraud, preventing identity theft? What do you say to those concerns?
The Department of State, if you look through all of our public statements since March 13th, our focus has always been on making sure that every eligible voter has photo ID, is registered to vote, and participates in the November 6th election. So that has been our position since day one, and we continue to have that position. And moving forward from here, we still want Pennsylvanians to register to vote. The registration date, the close of that is October 9th. People might forget that, but you need to be registered to vote on October 9th, and then please participate in the election on November 6th. It's a soft rollout. You will be asked for a photo ID, but you won't be required to have one. And we hope that we have the biggest voter turnout we've ever had in Pennsylvania.
Well, Secretary, that is a great note to end on. Thank you so much for taking time to talk with us and explain this ruling to us. We appreciate it.
Tracy, thank you for having me on your show.
You are listening to Radio Times on WHYY. We're talking about the new ruling on Pennsylvania's voter ID law.
AT&T Productions, Philadelphia's all-comedy theater company, supports WHYY. Now on stage, This Is the Week That Is, the election special. Written and performed by Philadelphia's own Jennifer Childs and the This Is the Week That Is ensemble, 1812's annual political satire features a script that changes with the headlines and up-to-the-minute reporting on all the news that's fit to skewer. Tickets available at 215-592-9560 or at 1812productions.org.
I'm Mike and Scott. Listener support is vital to WHYY, and we'll be asking for yours during our upcoming membership campaign. But the October buyback is your chance to help give us a head start. Make a pledge during our October buyback, and for every 750 donations we receive, you'll buy back one day. This means one less day of pledge and one more day of news without membership breaks. Do your part at whyy.org/support. Thank you.
There's one issue that's dominated the race between President Barack Obama and Republican challenger Mitt Romney.
We don't build the economy from the top down. We build it from the bottom up.
Let's get America working again.
Tomorrow night, the candidates will debate the economy and other domestic issues. I'm Guy Raz. Join us for special coverage of the first presidential debate from NPR News.
Tomorrow night at 9 on WHYY.
Welcome back to Radio Times. I'm Tracy Matisak, filling in for Marty Moscowane, and we are talking about that very controversial Pennsylvania voter ID law. There has been a new ruling on it just today, and we will be talking about that for the remainder of the program. Let me invite our listeners to join us. No doubt there will be a lot of questions about what this means and how it works and what happens from here. The number is 888-477-9499. We were just talking with Secretary Carol Achill, who is responsible for the implementation of the voter law, and she explained to us that it is going to be a soft rollout, which is essentially what we saw in the spring, that voters will be asked for a photo ID but don't necessarily have to produce one, at least at this time. And that ruling is applying to this election only, as we understand it. So joining us now to help us understand all of this a little bit better is Vic Volchek, and Vic is the ACLU of Pennsylvania's legal director. He's also one of the lawyers who brought the lawsuit and challenged this Pennsylvania voter ID law. Vic, welcome to Radio Times.
Hi, Tracy. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you with us, and I know that this is a pretty recent ruling, but we're going to ask you as best you can to explain what it means and what is your response to it.
Oh, boy. The ink is still wet on my copy here.
Ours, too.
Yeah. Not entirely sure how all of this is going to work. So I think there's good news, and then there's some reason for concern. First, the good news is that nobody is going to be prohibited from voting on Election Day simply because they don't have photo ID. That is first and foremost and most important. Equally important, I think, is that we dissuaded the judge who last week had suggested that perhaps folks who didn't have ID would vote provisionally on provisional ballots. The judge did not go there. And I think, as Secretary Achill correctly said, what's going to happen is what they did back in the primaries, which is it's a soft rollout, so they will ask for ID, but if you don't have ID, you still get to vote on a regular machine, so that vote will definitely be counted. So that is all good news. I guess what raises concern is whether people are going to understand, whether your average voter is going to understand what's really going on here. So we, for instance, had asked the court to issue an injunction against the state's education efforts, and the judge declined to do so. And the reason we wanted that was because all of the state's advertising, and we've now seen what they have in the can through the election day, and it all says, show it. Show your ID. And if they continue to run that without telling people that there is no longer an ID requirement, is that going to discourage people who don't have ID from going to the polls? Is there going to be so much confusion out there that your average voter is simply not going to know whether they have to show ID or not? So that's all. Those are all issues that we're kind of wading through at the moment.
So is it your expectation that the state would not continue to send out that kind of information? I know we received one at our house, the postcards they're sending out, they're
right.
Doing robocalls, that sort of thing. Is it your expectation that that is probably going to go away over the next few weeks?
It should go away if it's not modified. If you think about it, the judge has said you can't prohibit somebody from voting when there's ID. To the extent the Commonwealth is putting out any kind of message saying you need ID in order to vote, that's inconsistent with the ruling, and it's likely to lead to voter confusion. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the Commonwealth is going to do. I don't know that the Commonwealth knows what the Commonwealth is going to do at this point, but it certainly does raise the specter of some voter confusion. Not at this point. I don't know what, if any, action we're going to take to try to address that.
Yeah. Vic, do you think this is over now? Do you anticipate that maybe the Commonwealth would challenge this ruling, or do you think this is it?
I don't know. It's been about 25 minutes, so really it's premature to say what we're going to do or what's going to happen going forward. As I said, I do think there is good news here in that on Election Day, those folks who do not have the ID, who have not been able to get the ID, who would not be able to get to a PennDOT between now and Election Day to get the ID, those folks will be allowed to vote, and they will be allowed to vote on a regular machine, on a provisional paper ballot. So it means that those votes will count, and that's all good news.
Yeah. Vic, you represented people who were challenging this law, and one of the questions was, how good a job is Pennsylvania doing in implementing it and making sure that people who need photo IDs get them? In your experience, based on what your clients have told you, how good a job has Pennsylvania done with this?
Not great. And one of the concerns we had, well, you got to understand that it's been a shifting target. So when we went to trial the first time, our focus was on how difficult it was to get these PennDOT IDs. And so we had folks like Vivian Applewhite and others who didn't have a birth certificate, didn't have a Social Security card, had worked with lawyers, had been unable to get those, and thus were precluded from getting an ID. On the eve of that first trial, Secretary Achol holds a press conference and says, oh, no, we've changed the process. We're going to have this new Department of State ID. It's not going to be ready for another month, but that's going to solve all the problems. In this last trial, which two-day trial, which we had last week, the Supreme Court had instructed the Commonwealth Court to look carefully at what happened with this new ID. And what we found was it was a mess. People were going and waiting for hours. We have stories of people waiting 4 and 5 hours. We have stories of people going and waiting and being turned away from getting an ID. We have stories of people being forced to pay for an ID that they needed just to vote. We have stories of incredible misinformation. We had folks going into PennDOT out here in Pittsburgh and being told that they were no longer issuing the free IDs, and then those people left. It was hardly a smooth process, and the Commonwealth announced on the eve of this last trial last week that they were changing all of the procedures again, and now it's going to be smooth and seamless. So, we were skeptical the first two times. We, I think, were proven right that the Commonwealth did not get it correct and did not make it sufficiently easy. We'll see what happens this time. But again, our concern is that the state has not put in place the infrastructure they need. I feel like saying those poor beleaguered Department of Motor Vehicle officials. Right? They work hard, they're underpaid, and now they get this whole new set of IDs dumped on top of them. They don't get sufficient training, and it's been a mess, and it's not their fault, but they're just not in a position to be able to distribute the number of IDs that would need to be distributed. So it's still a mess out there.
Yeah. Vic, overall, and I know that you're still sort of wading through this ruling, but your basic reaction, is it a fair ruling? Is this something where you think maybe the judge was attempting to appease both sides in this case?
We got essentially what we wanted, which is to block the requirement for a photo ID on Election Day. That's not to block all ID requirements, because people still need to sign the register and they compare the signatures. And if you're a first-time voter, you still need to show some form of ID. It's not necessarily photo ID. There's all sorts of documents that you can show. So in that sense, this is a victory, at least for this election, which is what we were focused on. But again, depending on what the Commonwealth does with its education efforts, there is the potential for significant voter confusion, and that's just not a good thing. When there's confusion, that means people who don't know if they have the right ID or not sure what the situation is may well stay home, and that's not good for democracy.
How do you think this ruling is going to resonate nationally?
No idea. Will be interesting to see what the pundits are saying. But it's we're in a whole lot better position today than we were the last time the Commonwealth Court ruled. So we're grateful for that.
Yeah. But at the heart of this, according to the state, was concern about voter fraud, about voter impersonation or identity theft. You probably heard the secretary talking about that. What do you say about that? How big a concern was voter fraud?
A nonsense. I'm sorry. When they passed this law, I was willing to give them somewhat of the benefit of the doubt. But you know, one of the great things about litigation is that you have something known as discovery, right? So you can send questions to the Commonwealth officials and force them to answer the questions that you are asking. You can take depositions where you have officials under oath. And one of the things we were able to do is say, put up or shut up. Put up your evidence of impersonation fraud. And they came back with 8 or 9 examples, none of which seemed to be impersonation fraud. And so in discovery, we were able to press that. And as it turned out, they had no examples of impersonation voter fraud. They had nothing that would justify even a concern about impersonation voter fraud. And so at the end of the day, you know, they signed an agreement that they would not argue in court that there's any impersonation voter fraud or that the likelihood of such fraud was greater if the voter ID law was blocked. So, I mean, it's complete garbage to say that that there's a concern about impersonation fraud. You know, is it conceivably possible? Yes. I mean, lots of things are conceivably possible, but the incidence of such fraud, not just in Pennsylvania but across the country, are virtually non-existent. This is not a reason to have a ID requirement that will disenfranchise thousands, if not tens of thousands, of individuals.
So what do you think was the real reason, the real issue here?
You know, I also wasn't saying this when the bill was first passed, but if people say they need this to prevent impersonation fraud, it's shown that there is no impersonation fraud to be concerned about, then you got to wonder what is the real reason. And I simply can't see any legitimate, lawful reason to have this kind of requirement. Certainly the Commonwealth has not pointed to it. Officials continue to trot out the notion, oh, we got to fight fraud. Well, look, there is no fraud. You've admitted there's no fraud. You admitted there really isn't a concern about fraud. So why are you really doing this? As I said, I simply don't see a legitimate justification for having this law under the circumstances, given the facts.
Well, Vic, while we have you here, we want to go to the phones. We'll go to Bryn Mawr and welcome Chris to our conversation. Hi, Chris.
Hi, thank you. I think two things. One is, I think your speaker now is correct in that the amount of education required now that the requirement is not in place needs to be equal to the amount of whether it was scare tactic or proclamation that the requirement was there in order for people not to be intimidated. And I think a comment to the secretary's earlier pronouncement that we educated people that they could bring any type of ID or they could get this photo ID. If people look at the postcards that were mailed out recently, what was depicted in the pictorial was an actual Pennsylvania driver's license, and that you needed to show that. So again, even in the original outreach, it was not showing a voter ID pictorial, but again, sort of saying if you didn't have a driver's license, you couldn't vote. So I just think it has to be equally stated now that you don't need a driver's license or you don't need the photo ID. Thanks.
All right, Chris, thanks for your call. Vic, that has been your concern.
Yeah, it has been our concern, and one of the things we got in discovery, sort of a second round of quick discovery after the Supreme Court decision and before we went to trial last week, was copies of all the ads. And it's the, you know, it's the show it won, and frankly, the pictures that they show are all IDs that are unattainable for most of those people who don't have some kind of photo ID, and you're talking about, you know, maybe 10% of the population. So they show a driver's license. In one case, I think they show a passport. I think in one case they show a non-driver PennDOT photo ID. Again, those are the really difficult ones to get, and none of those ads, whether it's on a bus, whether it's in print, whether it's on the card, whether it's on the radio or TV, none of them tell you what documents you need in order to get ID or how to get that ID. All they say is, you need ID to vote, better get it, and, you know, go on the website or call a phone number if you want more information. And the message that people are getting is, you need ID to vote. If I don't have ID, then maybe I won't vote. So it is, I think, a dangerous, potentially dangerous message, and one that could really be confusing, especially now since the court has said that they're not allowed to ask for this ID on Election Day.
Yeah. Vic, I don't know if you are aware of what was going on in Montgomery County, where there was a loophole discovered with regard to nursing homes. And so the idea was, hey, people can get an ID through the county nursing home. It's a one-minute process. You don't need, you know, all the kinds of documentation like the birth certificate and so on. And we can get a whole lot of people, identified in plenty of time for the election. What do you think about that idea? It sounds like it was sort of a way around the law as it existed.
Yeah, well, I think it's inartful drafting on the part of the legislature. In the first trial back in July, we had asked one of the Commonwealth officials, I don't remember which one it was, about this seeming lack of restriction on who nursing homes and schools could issue the ID to. So it just said nursing homes accredited educational institutions can issue ID. It didn't say they can only be issued to students or faculty. And the official said, it would seem that there's no restriction on who they can issue it to. And so I think that Montgomery County and Allegheny County are taking advantage of some inartful drafting and comments that we've seen from the legislature since those announcements, from the Secretary of State's office since those announcements were made, have said, we think it's legal, but it's inconsistent with the spirit. Well, you know, if it's legal, it gets more people ID, then everybody should be for it. More power to those creative government officials in Montgomery and Allegheny County.
And finally, Vic, where can people go if they want to get more information about the details for this ruling to try to understand exactly what it says?
Not sure exactly yet. I suspect that sometime this afternoon, the ACLU PA website, www.aclupa.org, will have something kind of trying to deconstruct the decision. I suspect that as the day wears on, you'll be seeing lots more coverage, as I know this has really been a case of great interest around the country.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Vic Volchek, thank you so much for being with us. I know you were working on the fly here, but we so appreciate your helping us understand what is going on with this ruling.
Well, and thank you for having me, and my apologies for not being more definitive than I've been able to be.
Well, I'll tell you what, when you have about 10 minutes to work with, you do what you can, right?
Great, thanks.
Thanks, Vic.
All right, yeah, bye-bye.
You're listening to Radio Times. We're talking about Pennsylvania's voter ID law and the ruling that came down just within the hour. We are digesting it, talking about what it means going forward. We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY Fox Broadcasting Company, presenting the season premiere of Raising Hope with guest star Melanie Griffith and new episodes of Ben and Kate, New Girl, and The Mindy Project, starting at 8 p.m. on Fox 29.
The Philadelphia Orchestra supports WHYY, recipient of 10 Oscars, the most awarded to a musical. West Side Story will be projected on a giant screen at the Kimmel Center as the Philadelphia Orchestra performs the music live. Tickets at philorg.org and at 215-893-1999. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Kimmel Center, the movie and the music, West Side Story, with a Philadelphia Orchestra.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. A reporter just back from Afghanistan describes the mood there. He says surprisingly troops want more engagement with Afghans despite the insider attacks. Also, how much are you paying to stay connected? Is your cell phone eating up your budget? That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture here and now.
Today at noon on WHYY.
Support for WHYY comes from PNC Wealth Management, helping customers live achievement by crafting personalized solutions to grow, preserve, and transfer wealth. More information is available from John Conaway at 215-585-5438.
Welcome back to Radio Times. I'm Tracy Matisak, filling in for Marty Moskowain. We're talking about Pennsylvania's voter ID law. As you probably remember, there's been lots of controversy about that and about the prospect of keeping people from the polls. The original law was challenged in Commonwealth Court. It was kicked up to the state Supreme Court, which and then kicked it back to the Commonwealth Court. And so just within the hour, the judge has issued a ruling about that that essentially keeps things the same as they were in the spring, where voters will be asked for an ID, but if you don't have one, you will still be allowed to vote. At least that is how we understand the ruling at this hour. Here to help us dissect it a little bit more is Jennifer Clark. She is the executive director of the Public Interest Law Center of Philadelphia, and her group was one of several that were suing the state, alleging that the voter ID law violates the state constitution. So, Jennifer, welcome to Radio Times.
Thank you, Tracy.
So what's your reaction to this ruling?
Well, it's a big win. It is a big win because it means that people who don't have ID will be able to vote in the fall. It's not perfect because there will still be information out there that you need to bring an ID. We're confused about confusion that people might stay home because they still think they can't vote. But the bottom line is people will be able to vote at the polls, even if they don't have ID in the fall.
I don't know if you heard the last segment of our interview with Vic Volchak from the ACLU, but that was his concern, just that there's a lot of information out there now that's telling people that you need to have some sort of photo ID. Is that going to be a problem? In other words, have they done too good a job in educating people about that so that people may think, oh, I'm not going to have time, I'm not going to be able to get the required ID in time, I'm just going to sit this one out?
That is a concern, and we would call on the Department of State to get new information out there that makes it very clear that people will be able to vote even if they have ID. So I think that there's two things that we can do to fix this problem. One is that we hope very much that the Department of State will have their own ads that try to fix the problem that we have. And second, we have an amazing coalition around the state of advocates, and I think it's going to be very important for everybody to get the clear message out that people can vote without IDs in November.
Jennifer, was there anything that surprised you about this ruling, anything that jumped out at you or that seemed maybe still confusing? What were your observations?
Well, when you look at the ruling itself, it's very confusing because it refers to specific, narrow statutory provisions. So it's very hard to read. And it takes putting a magnifying glass in front of it and really looking at each little section of the law to understand what the court did. So that's one thing that jumps out at us immediately. I've already seen this morning that there's some confusion and misinformation already out there about the ruling. Hmm. That's the main thing that jumped out. It was gratifying to see that the judge acknowledged the difficulties that people have had in getting ID so far. It was gratifying to see that the court agreed that there are people who will be, or there are people who will be disenfranchised.
And so, Jennifer, one of the concerns that we were talking about when this first came down was the whole idea of having to also retrain poll workers who may have been anticipating a different process.
There is a lot of work that's going to have to be done by the election commissions around the county, around the country, to address that problem. Yeah. I mean, that is the biggest problem that we have out there now. There's a lot of misinformation, and yet poll workers are certainly one of the groups that's going to have to be retrained.
Yeah.
We're lucky here in Philadelphia. We have a very good election commission, and I know that they'll be working full-time to make sure everybody's trained.
Do you anticipate that the state would appeal this decision?
You know, I just can't speculate on that. I just don't know what they're thinking about that.
Yeah. You certainly are familiar with some of the challenges that occurred for voters throughout this process, up until as recently as this morning when, you know, the wisdom was, okay, you've got to get some sort of photo ID. What are some of the problems that you have heard about, that some of the people that you represent have experienced? What kind of process has it been for them?
It's been heartbreaking. It actually makes me sick to when I've heard people testify in these hearings that we've had. Some of the things that have happened is people have gone to the motor vehicle department, checked on the website, but when they get there, they find that it's not a day to get photo ID, so they have to go home. People go, and they're told, this document isn't right, go to another office. So what we hear is people coming back four times, five times to try to get ID. We've heard about people who've had to spend 6 hours on multiple days at PennDOT because of the lines. We've heard people that at the end of the day go away without ID, without any explanation of why. We've heard of people who go and are given the wrong forms. This has been an outrage. I give the Department of Transportation and the Department of State a lot of credit for trying, but this is a huge problem, and they just could not solve it.
So would you then encourage the people that you represent, would you be a proponent of having people get the IDs just in case, not knowing whether perhaps the state would appeal this decision, and you're back to square one?
Well, that's a very good point. I still do think it's a good idea for people to try to get IDs, but I do think. But we will probably know soon whether the state is going to appeal. So I think that people should, if they're planning to get ID today, they should do that. But we'll know soon whether the state's going to appeal.
Yeah. And I asked the same question of Vic Volchek. Your suggestion for people who want to understand this ruling a little bit better, where can voters go just to get a better understanding of things?
Yes, I think that there are our website, www.pilcop.org, will have an explanation of the ruling. I know Vic gave the ACLU website. The Committee of 70 has been the leader in the advocacy efforts to get people ID. I'm sure that they will have an excellent description on their website as well.
Well, Jennifer Clark, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us. We're all sort of untangling this thing at the same time, and we certainly appreciate your helping us understand it better.
Well, I appreciate your having me, but I think we should all remember that this is wonderful because people will be able to vote in November.
Well, thanks again for being with us, and we want to talk about Montgomery County. We mentioned this just a little while ago in the program, how Montgomery County had found a way to sort of work around the law as it existed. And joining us now is Josh Shapiro, and Josh is the chairman of the Board of Commissioners in Montgomery County. Josh, welcome to Radio Times. All right, looks like we are waiting to get Josh. Josh, are you there?
I am, Tracy.
Right,
it's good to be with you.
It's great to have you with us. First of all, your reaction to this ruling that just came down.
Well, on the one hand, I'm encouraged for those people who can't get an ID in this election. They can still vote. But I still want to see the court review this law on the merits, and I believe when they do, they will find it to be unconstitutional. And it's my hope that now that there appears to be somewhat of a cooling off period, and Judge Simpson has scheduled a full review of the matter, that they will see the light and determine that it is unconstitutional. But nevertheless, the immediate concern has been addressed by Judge Simpson. Now we're all waiting to see whether or not it will be appealed, but in the immediate short term, those people who can't get an ID can still vote in this election.
When would that review likely take place, Josh?
I believe Judge Simpson has scheduled a full hearing and trial on this for sometime in December.
Okay, so we're talking about very soon.
Yes.
Okay. So tell us about what's been happening in Montgomery County, because it sounds like the folks there have figured out an efficient way to work around this, even though now, I mean, perhaps it's a moot point, but tell us how that worked and what you were doing in Montgomery County.
Well, Tracy, it's not a moot point at all, and I appreciate the opportunity to tell your listeners about what we're doing here in Montgomery County. First off, my opposition to the voter ID law is well documented. I served in the state legislature for 7 years prior to becoming the chairman of the Montgomery County Commissioners in January, and I voted against this bill when it was in Harrisburg, and I've spoken out against the new law. That said, I took an oath of office to uphold all of the laws of the Commonwealth, even those that I disagree with. And in the course of our team of great solicitors here, led by Ray McGarry and David Robinson, they reviewed the law and determined that Montgomery County, like some other counties around the Commonwealth, actually have the authority to issue ID cards through our senior care facility, which is known as Park House. And we're not limited to issuing ID cards to residents of that senior care facility, but any person. In fact, we're limiting it to Montgomery County residents, but it can be to any person in Pennsylvania. These ID cards will enable people to be able to comply with the voter ID law, and they'll be much easier for registered voters to get in Montgomery County. They won't have to deal with the hassle of working through the PennDOT bureaucracy. They won't have to deal with long lines. And we're moving forward in Montgomery County to ensure that every single registered voter who needs a card can get one. You know, there was a recent PennDOT report that showed 49,000 people in Montgomery County, registered voters in Montgomery County, either didn't have a proper ID or had questions about their ID. Well, we want to make sure that every single registered voter that wants to be able to vote can comply with this new voter ID law, and that's why we're doing what we're doing.
So, ruling notwithstanding, you can still, if you live in Montgomery County and you are a registered voter, then you can get the photo ID through this process.
You can, and we're pushing forward full steam ahead on this. Obviously, we don't know what the Supreme Court will rule. Presumably, this will be appealed to them, and we can't sit around and wait. We want to take care of the residents in our county. We've scheduled 59 different events and locations around Montgomery County for people to be able to go and get an ID. All that information is available on our website at montcopa.org. And when you show up, you simply have to affirm that you're a registered voter living in Montgomery County, and you have to bring some form of identification with you, like a paycheck or a bank statement or a utility bill, a firearm permit, things like that. And that will enable you to get a Park House issued ID for Montgomery County registered voters.
So this way, you're not having to come up with a birth certificate or something that may be difficult to get your hands on. I mean, these are pretty accessible forms of documentation.
Absolutely, Tracy. Look, this law was designed to try and make it hard for certain people to be able to get an ID and be able to exercise their constitutional right to vote. And if this law is going to be on the books and I'm going to be forced to enforce it, I want to make it as easy as possible for a registered voter to be able to cast their vote. And that's exactly what we're doing in Montgomery County. And I would point out that our board voted 3-0 to do this. This was a nonpartisan issue for us. While this issue has become dogged in partisanship, and understandably so, our efforts in Montgomery County have been completely nonpartisan. The Democrats and our Republican colleague have worked together to make this happen.
And Josh, you talked about having events where people can get more information and they can get these IDs. Will the county be doing other things in terms of educating people? Because that's been one of the issues here. We've heard a couple of times during the program that there is concern because the state has put out so much information saying you've got to have one of these forms of ID, that now, with just a few weeks left to until the election, that people may be confused about that and not vote. So the question is, what will the county be doing? Will there be other concerted efforts to make sure that people in Montgomery County know that this is available to them?
We've increased, under the leadership of Leslie Richards, who chairs our election board, we've increased the number of trainings, actually doubled the number of trainings for poll workers. We've put out a lot of information to the public. We continue to talk about this issue to avoid confusion. After all, you know, part of what proponents of this new voter ID law were hoping for was to create mass confusion and to make people frustrated and make certain people not show up to the polls. We're combating that. We want to make sure that everyone who wants to vote can vote, and training and education is a big part of that, and we've been doing that for months here in Montgomery County.
What about other counties, Josh? Have you been talking with representatives from, I don't know, Bucks County, Delaware County, anybody looking to perhaps follow your lead on this?
We worked closely with our friends in Allegheny County, and they are moving forward with this type of an approach, and I've answered questions to my colleagues in the other suburban counties as well, to ensure that they had the information available to do this type of program if they wish. Obviously, it's up to them whether they want to move forward, and I'm not going to presuppose to know what's best for their counties. All I can do is what's best for the people of Montgomery County, and that's what we're doing. I would point out to your listeners, one of the issues that was raised was cost and whether or not this would be a burden to the taxpayers. Our entire program, 59 events, issuing these ID cards to as many people as want them and utilizing staff time, is going to cost less than $4,000, a small price to pay to ensure that that every registered voter in Montgomery County can vote.
What do you think, or at least hope, the effect will be on turnout in Montgomery County?
Well, I think turnout's going to be big. This is an exciting election. There's a tremendous amount at stake. I believe, as was the case 4 years ago, that Barack Obama will carry Montgomery County, and I think it will help propel him to victory in Pennsylvania and propel him to victory nationwide. That said, the efforts that are ongoing within our county government to ensure everyone has access to an ID has nothing to do with politics. It just has to do with doing what's right, and that is ensuring everybody's right to vote.
And finally, Josh, is there a deadline by which people have to make sure that they get these IDs through the county nursing home?
No. We will be beginning the process of issuing the IDs tomorrow, Wednesday, October 3rd. Our first two facilities, our first two locations, one in Norristown, one in Lower Marion, and we'll be issuing IDs all the way up through Tuesday, November 6th. So you can get an ID literally up until Election Day. Check out MoncoPA.org for the full calendar of events and locations on where you can get your ID.
Great. Josh Shapiro, thank you so much for being with us on
Tracy.
Radio Times. And as we pointed out, Josh is the chairman of the Board of Commissioners of Montgomery County. We have been talking about Pennsylvania's controversial voter ID law and the ruling that came down that said essentially you're not going to have to show a photo ID if you are looking to vote in Pennsylvania. You've been listening to Radio Times. I'm Tracy Matisak, filling in for Marty Moscowane.